Just okay. A quick roll call.
Yes, please.
Morning, good afternoon to everyone, and today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 28th of October. We have Jeff Newman, Tatiana Kramsova, Alex Gakuru, Paul Diaz, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, Margie Milam, Marika Konings, Liz Gaston, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies today from Avery Doria, David Maher, and James Bladel. So could still please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Thank you very much. This is Jeff Newman, Chair of the Policy Development Process Work Team. It is Thursday, October, I got to look at the date again, even though I know you just said it, October 28th, 2010. And so we have a small attendance here today, but I think we still need to push forward. We have a in face-to-face ICANN meeting coming up in early December in Cartagena, and it would be great if we could show some progress. Just an update as to what is going on behind the scenes. As you know, we've been working through this public comment review tool, which I think we just have a few items left to catch up on with some comments that were received, but I think we should be finishing that up on today's call. Behind the scenes, ICANN staff and has been working on what we're calling a draft final report. You remember we put out our draft, our initial report before the Brussels meeting. We've got comments on it. Now we're doing a draft final report because there were a number of areas that were left open with our initial report. It's a little premature at this point to put out a final report. So the goal is to put out a draft final report as the next step. That will include our recommendations as well as a summary of the public comments that we've been going through and a bifurcation of items that we think should go into the policy development, the GNSO operating procedures as opposed to the bylaws and kind of bifurcating that out, which is something we'll talk about on today's call and in future calls. So the report's being prepared. I've seen a draft of it, and the goal is to get that draft out to this group by next week. We would love to, the ultimate goal would be we'd love to publish something by the 15th, by the publication deadline before the Cartagena meeting. Recognizing that, again, this is a draft final report and not any kind of final recommendations, but we recognize that that's aggressive, so I kind of wanted to throw that out first to just see what people's thoughts are on it. We are running very tight up against deadlines in order to do that, and as we can see from low attendance on this call, it may be tough to get enough internal work team opinion on it before we actually publish it. So does anyone have any thoughts on that? Marika, you want to add to that?
Yeah, it is, Marika. Just to add a little bit to explain the approach we've taken in the report, in relation to a number of recommendations where the work team has had further discussions based on the public comments and feedback received, we've tried to write those recommendations as we thought that would be agreement within the work team, because a number of items I think we cleared out through discussing the public comments. There are also a number of items where either we had discussions but no clear conclusion or no real discussion at all. And for some of those areas, we've had some internal thinking and have suggested a number of approaches for the work team to consider. Again, it might be that the work team feels that several of these approaches might be valid and would like to put those out as part of a draft final report for public comment, or maybe some of those approaches get a consensus support over other suggestions. So, again, the report has as well been condensed. Some of the parts that were in the initial reports, for example, the notes, the proposal would be to take those all out and just include them as a reference. So it becomes more clear what the new structure is going to be and how it builds up to the draft language for the bylaws and the procedure, the PDP procedure manual that will become part of the operating rules of the GNSO. So just to give a little bit more background as to how we've structured the report and the approach we've taken.
Right. Alan?
Yeah, I really think that the 15th is going to be too aggressive. Certainly for my own schedule, I'm not going to have a lot of time to work on it. And based on what looks like going to be an exceedingly busy meeting in Cartagena and the low attendance we got on our public meeting last time, I just don't think there's a lot to be gained by trying to push it out other than it's a deadline we can work towards. I'm just not sure that the meeting itself is going to be that much of a focal point around what we're doing, either for us to continue our work there or for comment. So I would not push hard for a deadline just 2 weeks away. I don't think we'll end up with a quality product, and I'm not sure there's a lot to be gained by meeting that deadline other than it takes us a little bit forward in the overall process.
Right. Okay. Paul?
Thanks, Jeff. I totally agree with Alan on this one. I'm really frustrated, disappointed that this particular PDP, considering the subject matter we've taken on, has been such a rough slog getting consistent participation. I think Alan's got a good point. Setting a date, not so much to actually publish a report, but to give ourselves a deadline to work towards is important. I think we need to one more time go back to council. At least when we do our update in Cartagena, saying, reiterating that, hey, look, this is supposed to be one of the critical things. These are the rules that we're going to be operating under going forward. Yet we're having such a hard time getting consistent participation. Reiterate that we're not trying to rush this. We all, those who are participating, recognize the importance of what's doing. We don't want to put out a substandard product for comment, but to try and jam it in what is 2 weeks now, like I said, I agree with Alan. I don't think that it makes much sense to try and rush this. But I do want to definitely be on record in Cartagena again, for what it's worth, just voicing frustration with the lack of regular participation.
Yeah. So,
Jeff, just this is a follow-on. I agree with what Paul said, and I'll add. I'm assuming Marika has enough other deadlines, and some of us also have some other deadlines that we're working towards for Cartagena, and I think this will just add will be a make work effort, which won't achieve anything in its own right, and will divert efforts from other things that do have particular objectives for Cartagena.
Right. Okay, Marika, you want to interject?
Yes. This is Marika. I really appreciate what everyone's saying, and I know it's a very short deadline, but I would just like to ask everyone to maybe first have a look at the draft that will circulate next week, because actually working through it, I think we've come already quite far, and looking at the bylaw language and trying to put everything together, it really looks like already quite a complete package. There are a number of issues where, we still need guidance from the work team in which direction to take it. But, one of the concerns I have, and I think it's very important to me, that we set ourselves a deadline, that this just, keeps on being pushed forward. Because if we don't meet the Cartagena deadline, I guess it's unlikely we're going to do anything before the Cartagena meeting, because there are a lot of other things that need to be done that pushes us in the new year. This is one of the efforts that's the furthest behind, if you look at all the genus improvements, where many items are already in the implementation stage, or at least at the steering committee level. I would love as well to have more participants on the group, but I'm not really sure whether another call will actually change that and this at this stage of the game. And I wonder if it's just time to indeed move it to the next level. There's still a PPSC that needs to look at this as well, where it's very, very likely as well that some of the representatives of the groups that haven't participated might come back and ask questions, which still then will be given back to the PDP work team. So it still doesn't mean that the work of this group is done. So it's still quite a number of steps ahead. So what I would just like to ask people just to look at the draft and really see if they really think that no way that this is ready or we'll get this ready to publish by the 15th of November. But if there's a chance that we could meet the deadline, you know, it's just to move things forward. And although we didn't have great attendance in Brussels, I think it was partly due to conflicting meetings. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's possible to avoid that necessarily in Cartagena, but I would hope that maybe we could take a more proactive approach at the constituency stakeholder group level and ask all the representatives of the work team, for example, to go there and, you know, either present a couple of slides on the proposal or, you know, at a minimum, highlight the fact that the report is out and that input is, you know, really required now because this is moving up to a final proposal. And in that way, you know, get traction and hopefully get input so that we could work to finalizing the report after Cartagena.
Right. Hey, Jeff, could I jump in?
Alex, why don't you jump in, then I'll go back to Alan.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Alex speaking. Whereas I agree on the need maybe to have the work completed, and maybe I also understand what Paul and I think the other speaker, I don't know whether it was Alan, I would also want to say that if there are any comments that I expected next week, I will actually not be in a position to do that because I travel on Sunday for the next 8 days to another country, Ghana, and 8 days. It will be a very tight schedule, and I probably won't have a phone. So in case my comments don't come in next week or I don't participate on the call, it's not absenteeism. It's just simply I can't participate. Just wanted to highlight that and ask people in advance. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, Alan.
Yeah, although I appreciate what Marika is saying, I think if we set ourselves a deadline of something like the end of the year or the Christmas holidays, which is a bit more realistic, I think we'll end up with a better product and perhaps be able to get the attention of people. We're getting the attention of people at the meeting or soon after the meeting, and because now we tend to have either things released just before the meeting or just after the meeting. I just think we're going to do better, and with respect to we're behind compared to the others, we can't afford to do in this one some of the problems that have happened with the operations rules, for instance. Of now that they're actually trying to be implemented, people are finding that the words just didn't make any sense. So,
okay, Wolf, and then Paul.
Me, thanks. Wolf speaking. I came late, but I understand you are talking about the timeline and how to proceed. Let me just say from a council, as a councillor, so from a council perspective, so I would say I would love to have it as soon as possible on the council table available, this document. So that means because, you know, looking from the council, is still doing a lot of work with regards to improvement and reorganization and things like with the procedures and these things, which are tools to support the council in doing some policy work. So people should really be keen, and they are keen on to do some policy work and to talk about and discuss this. So that's one reason. So I would like to have it as soon as possible available. Also, so I understand Alan's arguments to say, okay, if we have some more time, then it might be a little bit better or more perfect document. But this doesn't matter. Let's do it as soon as possible. So for example, I could agree to what Marika was saying that with regards to the last meeting the PPSC meeting and the meeting where you offered public participation in that was in Brussels. It was really, for example, for me, it was due to conflicting schedules that I couldn't do that. So if tonight we are going to talk about the council agenda in Cartagena, and I don't know about, you know, Stefan is going to present that, the draft one. But if we could see a chance, well, also to have a workshop on that, on the PDP, it would be helpful, I think so. And I would like to really also to participate. So that's my opinion.
OK. Okay. Paul and then Margie. And then I kind of want to summarize this and wrap up this discussion so we can talk some substance. So, Paul?
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. And probably a follow-on to what Wolf was just saying, and hopefully you can clarify for me. Would you just please lay out the 15th is the deadline to publish things so they can be considered in Cartagena. If we push ourselves to try and get this interim report done by the 15th, is it going to the general public? Is it going to council? Is it going to the PPSC? I'm just a little confused what our particular roadmap looks like for this work group.
Yeah, no. Rick, you want to jump in?
No. Yeah, this is Rick. I can clarify that. Basically, the 15th of November deadline is for documents that are to be discussed by the community in Cartagena. So the idea will be, I mean, if this is indeed an interim report, it would also be submitted to the council, like any initial report is done in the same manner, but, you know, normally council just acknowledges it but doesn't discuss it in further detail. The PPSC, I don't think we've submitted the initial report either, but I think the idea will be to mark that date as well as the launch of another public comment period, as we said we would do on the draft initial report, as a number of the recommendations weren't final in the initial report. And the idea would be to have a public session then in Cartagena to actually present the report and encourage public comment and participation in that process. And I said, I would hope as well that maybe we could get some participation from the members in this work team to do outreach as part of, you know, constituency day and the stakeholder group day, I guess it should be called as well, to really make sure that everyone's aware of it. And you know, like Eileen mentioned, you know, there have been some issues with the operating procedures or the OSC recommendations where people, you know, didn't know or were confused, although it was all in the reports they've received, but I guess partly because maybe people didn't really focus on it. I think, you know, we really should try to get people saying, look, this is the moment where you can comment. You know, we're now in the final stages. If there's anything major you see, now is the moment to point it out, because we really would like to move this to the next step and the next level and hopefully get a new PDP sooner rather than later.
So just to kind of – oh, I'm sorry, Margie.
I wanted to comment on the report. As Marika mentioned, we're going to be releasing the next version of the report. And for those of you that haven't seen it yet, there's a lot of additional material in there, draft bylaws, a draft PDP manual, and I think it might help. I'd recommend you wait and take a look at it because it might actually help us focus our discussions, and you might feel after you look at the next version of the report that it really does advance the discussion in a way that would make it useful to have it published before Cartagena. I mean, that would certainly be our goal as staff to at least allow the document to be released so that, you know, it can be received and discussed in Cartagena. And I do think we are getting closer, and hopefully you guys will agree when you look at the report.
Jeff, a quick comment, please.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, Alex, again. Like what you had said earlier, Jeff, about the importance of this work team, what we are doing and what the output of what you are producing, and again to underscore what Marika has just said, that we need to outreach to our various stakeholder groups. Perhaps it may serve as well if we had a brief synopsis of what our work is all about and how it impacts on everybody within the community, and maybe ask the staff or whoever might be the webmaster to put something on the homepage that really underscores what we are doing, and maybe we can use that to refer to the various people, because some people don't understand exactly the implications of what we are doing. It's only rather than waiting until later when, like the other reports, operating procedures are out and then we are all screaming, maybe we could have a brief synopsis of what we are all doing about, the importance, have it posted there, then we can refer people to that link to know what this report is all about and our work team. Just a quick suggestion that just came into my mind. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Marika, one last comment, and then I kind of want to summarize and move on if we could. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just in response to Alex, you know, we're happy to provide either some PowerPoint slides or a summary or, you know, whatever is determined to be useful for outreach to the different constituencies and stakeholder groups. And, you know, of course, when a public comment period is launched, it always goes together as well with the announcement that's posted on the ICANN homepage and that's circulated broadly. So we'll definitely do our best to get the message out as broadly as possible.
Right. So in summary, we'll release the draft to you all next week, early next week, and you guys take a look at it, provide some feedback. I'm also kind of agree with the sentiment of the comments that it may be too early to get out a draft for public comment because I think it should be thoroughly vetted by this group, and we should be happy with the product and all. Even if we don't agree with everything in there, we should agree with the fact that it should be released. But we do need to set deadlines for us that keep us moving forward. I would like to use some time in Cartagena, at least internally for the work team, to meet and to, if we haven't done it before then, but to finalize this draft report so that it's ready for public comment. So in line kind of what Alan said about, you know, even if we can't publish it by the 15th, to have a definitive date, I think saying the end of the year is a little rough because people's attendance starts to drop, and I'm afraid it'll drop off after Cartagena, as it usually does a week after anyway, and then you're into the holiday season and people's vacations, and so I would like to set a drop-dead date of us finalizing this interim report at the Cartagena meeting if we can't do it by the 15th, and then starting a public comment period if we can't do it by the 15th, then starting it by no later than, you know, the first business day back that most people have after the start of the year, so that we could certainly make some progress on this. I think the other idea that we have is, even if we don't have a report, I think the slides are an excellent idea. I think everyone in this group should commit to getting time on their constituency or stakeholder group schedule or advisory committee in the case of Alan and so to get on the schedule to review these slides with the group to make sure that they understand the significance of the work that we're doing and the significance of the public comment period that's going to open up. You know, maybe even a discussion of what's happened with the GCOT and other things as to how, you know, people, I wouldn't say people ignored it, but it wasn't the highest commented on report, and now, you know, it's implemented, and all of a sudden people realize, oh, yeah, there's these problems, and, you know, maybe some of them could have been foreseen if more people were paying attention at the time. So this, no matter what happens, this Cartagena meeting will not be a waste. It will, you know, we're going to get out there, and I want everyone in this group to commit to getting time on their constituency, stakeholder group, advisory committee schedule to go over this stuff and really emphasize the importance. So does that sound like a plan at the very least for everyone? By a show of checks or?
I'm angry.
Okay, great. All right. So thank you, everyone. Let's move on to some of the substance. And really what we're going to do now is close off the public comment tool review or the public review tool by going through some of the last comments that Mary had submitted and the non-commercials have endorsed, I think is the correct term. So why don't we go through some of those? And I think the first one is, and some of these topics we've already talked about ad nauseam, so we can maybe just go through them very quickly. But on the Who Can Request an Issues report, the non-commercials, or Mary, has said that it's appropriate that the current mechanisms for initiating a request be maintained and not expanded, which was our recommendation. But they think the language of our recommendation is confusing. For example, is it the work team's intention to equate the necessary action as between the GSO Council and an AC? If so, that would have been clearer had the recommendation language for B, where the Council raises an issue, read, raise an issue for policy development, as it currently reads in relation to ACs, rather than simply raise an issue. Another option might simply be to retitle Section 1 to read raising an issue for consideration before initiation of a PDP. So I think these are good suggestions. I mean, this sounds logical, and it doesn't disagree with our substance. It just is a rewording, which I think makes sense. But I'd want to hear from you all to see whether that would clarify things. And just to go to the report at the bottom, That is recommendation. Is that recommendation number one, Marika?
You mean what this comment is relating to?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's on comment one.
So I think really it's just to clarify that it's raising an issue for policy development as opposed to just raising any kind of issue that may not fall into policy development. I think it's a good clarification. Anyone disagree? Okay. Sounds. I'll go. Lack of opposition is consensus on this point for me. Alan Greenberg, too.
Yeah, just a clarification without going back to the report. For a PD, for an issue raised by the board, doesn't that go through an issues report? It bypasses a council vote, but I thought it still does go through an issues report.
Margie. Where are the bylaws now in this report?
Sorry, the question is whether you go through an issues report.
For an issue raised by the board.
That's right. Regardless of the request, there is an issues report.
Okay, so Mary has it wrong in her wording there, because I think she says it bypasses the issues report. She said it bypasses the issue report and the council vote. Council cannot not initiate a PDP.
Right.
If it's passed by the board, so there doesn't need to be a vote there, but I think the issues report is still required.
Yes.
So she would just say it would be amended to read initiation of PDP. Marika?
It isn't, Marika. I mean, this point might be partially moot if people look at the, when we circulate the draft, because as the the change of approach where the bylaws are going to be more the skeleton of the basic elements, it's written in a very different way than it currently is. So the details are more in the procedure manual, and there it's written more out. And I think Mary's point will be addressed there where it's.
Yeah, no, I wasn't really arguing with her point. I was arguing with the parenthetical where she notes that the issues report is bypassed for board ones, and I just think that's factually incorrect. I'm just clarifying for myself.
Okay, yeah, and I think that's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
It's correct that it's incorrect. Okay, thank you.
All right.
I was just proving I've actually read the words.
Well, good, thank you. Thank you, Alan Greenberg, too, as opposed to the first Alan Greenberg, which...
I was on a VPN, which I killed, and it gives you a new incarnation when you do that.
Yes, well, I like the older... I like number one, so if you want to bring him back, that'd be great.
I'm not sure I'll get the same IP address. I may become three.
All right, so number two is... excuse me. Deals with recommendation number two. Recommendation number two for those, just to remind you, is basically dividing the concept of a policy development process into two, raising the issue for a policy development process and then initiating the PDP. That was our recommendation. Mary says, although this was presumably not part of the work team's charge, striking the members' present language should be reviewed against other parts of the bylaws and any other applicable rules to ICANN constituent bodies, offices, committees, terms, and groups, as the case may be, to see if similar problems present themselves in those situations and respects. A template for requesting an issues report would be useful, but ought not to be mandatory. So where is the members present in recommendation two? Or is she referring to a different recommendation? Do you recall, Marika? Because that sounds more like a vote to initiate the initiate the issues report as opposed to what's in recommendation two.
This, Marika, I do believe we had a discussion at some point on the members' presence, so I don't know if that actually appears maybe somewhere in the notes. But again, I think this is one of the issues where in the rewriting of the bylaws and the procedure manual, it's no longer an issue.
Well, yeah, I mean, we shouldn't take that as a given yet because we haven't really released the draft out, but I think, but your point is that we will address this, or it will be addressed.
Right. Right.
And then I think we all agreed with her as far as we should provide a template for an issues report, but it's not mandatory. Now, we may have some mandatory elements of that, regardless of how you submit it or what template you use to submit it, these are the elements we do want to see. Any comments on that one? Okay, good. At least I have an agreement. People are listening. All right, dropping now to page 8 of the public comment review tool. There's a comment by Mary on recommendations 3, 4, and 5, talking about a manual or guidelines. They're not clear how these would be developed. This should be a community process. Similarly, suggestions for identifying potential outcomes and ways to define the issue should be accomplished with community input. So I'll stop there. I think that's our intent, correct? Anyone disagree with that? That is definitely our intent, to make sure that the community has input into these. I think that's pretty evident. We should make evident, if not. Recommendation 5 seems repetitive. That could very well be the case. Let's find out what 5 is here. Okay, recommendation 5 is, what would be really funny is if recommendation 5 said see recommendation 4, because that would be repetitive. Recommendation 5 is actually we recommend developing a policy or manual guidebook. She's right, recommendation 5 is repetitive, but it addresses a different issue that we had, and we recognize we've said this recommendation a couple times, but if you go into the body of the report, there's actually a reason why in this initial report it says the exact same thing as something before it.
What page is that on?
It's on page 5. Sorry, it starts on the bottom page.
Top of page 6.
Thank you.
Top 6. Bottom page 5, top page 6. Yeah, I think this is just the construction. I think it just came in a different area of our report. So it's the same as recommendation 3, very similar, but came up in a different conversation. So she's right. We repeated a couple of the recommendations, but it was because of where the issues that we were talking about, and we came up with the same recommendation. The first time we talked about having a manual was with the procedures for requesting an issues report. The next time we talked about a manual was in issues scoping. So she's right. It's repetitive, but we kind of did that for a reason. We won't be repetitive in the next report.
So the answer is noted, thanks.
Yeah. Okay, creation of an issues report. Recommendation 6. Mary's comment is that the bylaws should not be complicated with too much detail, which I think we're addressing in trying to move some of the stuff to the manual. So I think she's correct, and I think we are in agreement with her. The work team recommendation that this be taken up as part of preparation of the manual is a good way of ensuring guidance. So good. I think that's just agreement with us. That's great. As you can see, I'm trying to move really quick. Recommendation 7, the end result of a PDP. The fact that potential outcomes of PDP can be other than development of consensus policy ought to be further highlighted to the community in line with our recommendation, which I completely agree with, and I think I think that's right, and I think we all agree. Does anyone disagree with that? I think we've raised that a number of times in discussions. This next one I think we discussed a lot as well, which is talking about the role of ICANN staff. General counsel's role in opining whether proposed PDPs within scope is useful and necessary. Must a recommendation in respect should be followed. It would additionally be helpful if ICANN staff function with respect to a particular issues report. Example, whether technical expertise was provided or sought could be included where possible. The proposed manual guidelines could further explore this question.
I think we need to give Mary extra points for using the word opining.
Yes. I think that's a bigger word than any of the words that we use in our report. So that's, I think that's a good suggestion, and I think, Marika, if we can keep note of that so that we put that into our recommendation in the section that talks about the issues, ICANN policy, the role of ICANN staff in the manual.
Okay.
All right, timeline issues. This is page 11 of the comment tool, recommendation 10, which is page 7, am I right? Or is it, yeah, page 7 of the executive summary. It may be possible to combine option C and D. So let me, okay, why does recommendation 10 in the report not have a C and D?
This is Marika. Maybe she meant to say A and B. Because I only see as well an A and a B.
Yeah, okay. So let's read it keeping in mind A and B. So let's see. You're probably right. It says, for example, prescribing the time frame minimum to maximum in the bylaws with the added proviso that if ICANN staff requests modifications of the time frame, then the estimate requirements in B be provided as soon as possible upon the request for an issues report. Okay, so we provided two options. We said that we could either set a maximum time frame, which in the bylaws, this is again for a public comment period, setting a maximum time frame in the bylaws, which can be modified on the request of ICANN staff with the agreement of the GNSO Council, or request that ICANN staff provide the GNSO Council with an estimate of time it would take for the ICANN staff to complete an issues report, taking into account the complexity of the issue. And so what Mary's saying is combine those two in the bylaws with the added proviso that if ICANN staff requests a modification, then the estimate, then it should be provided as soon as possible. So basically it's saying, here's the maximum time frame in the bylaws that we will allow. If ICANN staff needs it, they can then provide an estimate at that point in time of how long it should be and come back to the council. But I think we could – I think that was sort of what we had discussed anyway. And I think providing it as two separate options clarified that we probably can combine them as one. Rika, Margie, you think we can combine those?
This is Marika. I think I'm not sure, you know, we discussed several times whether that kind of information should be in the bylaws or not. So I'm wondering as well on the timing. I think we've advocated there that, you know, it would be nice if it's in consultation with ICANN staff that, you know, they can assess depending on workload and the issue of how much time is required. And indeed, I don't think there's an issue in setting a maximum as long as there's an opportunity to, discuss with the council if more time is needed for, a number of reasons. But I'm just wondering whether that kind of information should be in the manual instead of the bylaws.
Yeah, well, I think wherever it appears, I think you're right. We still need to make that decision as to where these things appear. And just as a kind of an overall statement, I think some of the So I hear what you're saying, Marika, about a lot of things being moved over to the manual, and I think a lot of things will be. I think there may be certain things that contracted parties want to see hard-coded in the bylaws because of the process for changing those. So let's not prejudge at this point where it appears. I mean, I think keeping the way that you've drafted the draft report is good, so it'll clarify in people's mind and raise comments as to whether that's the appropriate place. But I'm not sure it's a foregone conclusion as to where it'll appear. But regardless of where it appears, I think the basic premise is that we set the maximum time frame, and we could do it as an option. We could say maximum 30 to 45 days, provided that if, you know, I can't staff, that there should be a period, there should be an opportunity for I can't staff to consult with the GNSO Council and provide an estimate if they believe it will take longer and get approval from the GNSO Council to do that. Okay. If we move on to number 11. Recommendation 11 was, there should be a public comment period that follows publication of an issues report, and before the council is asked to consider the initiation of PDP, such a public comment period would, among other things, allow for additional information that's missing, allow ICANN community opportunity to express views on whether the council should initiate the PDP. Mary just agrees with that recommendation. So good. Role of workshops and impact analysis, number 12 and 13. For recommendation 12, we basically said that we recognize the value of workshops on substantive issues prior to a PDP, and therefore we recommend that information on the potential role of workshops and information gathering events be provided in the policy development process manual, and we recommend the council should consider requiring workshops during the planning initiation phase. And Mary says that should be discussed and possible processes recommended by those tasked with preparing the manual. So that's almost like a wait and see. It sounds like a good idea, but let's see how the manual looks and what we actually say. Okay, I am skipping ahead to, and please interrupt me if I'm going too fast. As you can see, I really want to get through this, so please interrupt if you have a question. Prioritization and fast track. So fast track is something we're definitely going to have to talk about in more detail. So to the extent we do, I don't want to necessarily bring it up right now. I just want to jot it down so when we do talk about that bigger subject. But remember, for prioritization, we kind of said in our report we're punting it to the GNSO Council activity. But obviously we can't do that because they have a meeting today, right, Marika and Margie, and they may decide to just terminate the whole prioritization effort completely.
It's on the agenda today, but I think they're going to discuss next steps.
Yeah, so, and I think from the various messages we've been getting, I don't think the council is going to really come up with something. I just remind you what we said, that if you look at the previous one on the public comment review tool in the last column, we basically talked about that we noted that one of the solutions is to get more people involved, but the work team noted that the council hasn't considered yet how to deal with future issues and is focused for now on ongoing projects. It might therefore be appropriate for the work team to give more consideration to this. Another issue that was identified is that as working groups progress, the interest in the issue seems to disappear, resulting in fewer volunteers trying to finish the task. This becomes especially apparent when a new hot topic is launched, which attracts many new volunteers at the expense of other efforts. And so I think our conclusion was on this that, you know, we do agree that the Genophobe Council should prioritize PDPs and be in kind of a constant juggling exercise of, you know, there may be things that come up that are higher priority, but this is really a council activity that they should be doing, and not just at the outset of when to initiate it, but, you know, to keep revisiting that at different times to make sure that there's enough attention focused on the issues. But Mary basically says it's difficult for the council to accomplish a truly meaningful prioritization of the tasks. It would be unfortunate if a particular issue, example, as demonstrated by strong support for PDP amongst numerous constituencies or committees, could not be pursued due to lack of resources. Specific indicators, example, level of support, existence of third-party economic impact studies, could be identified as aids to the council when determining prioritization or initiation of PDP. And then she talks about fast track. So I'm going to skip that part of it now. James?
Hi, Jeff. James speaking. And my question is, are we, you know, just going through these comments? Are we responding to them? Because I have a lot of thoughts on this particular subject, and I'll hold them if it's not appropriate.
No, please. Please give us your thoughts.
Okay, well, I just don't think we should let this one go, regardless of what the, you know, council comes back with. I mean, we're really looking for some management and structure to this process. The needs of you know, PDP resources are infinite, but of course those resources, like everything, are limited. And you know, I don't want to give anything away, but I'm involved in a couple of other groups that are also making the similar recommendation that the staff and volunteer resources are taxed to the limit. You know, we can possibly include in our report that even if it's simple methods such as first in, first out, that's a form of prioritization. It at least, you know, establishes that no new PDPs can get underway until a couple of drop off. I mean, anybody who's ever been to an overpacked nightclub understands that concept. So, you know, I just think that it's something we shouldn't let go of, and it's something that we should continue to emphasize, possibly even in stronger terms in our interim report.
Okay, Alan?
Yeah, I don't disagree with the concept, but I think the reality is we do prioritize. We prioritize by how often we meet and how fast things go forward. And the things that are deemed to be less important naturally do go slower and put less demands on people. And I'm not, although I'd like to live in a world where everything is more orderly, I'm not sure we're really going to get there. And I think this kind of limitation is going to be there. And that does imply that a few over-eager people who are have a sense of responsibility do get pushed harder than they should. But I'm not convinced that we're going to see a lot different. And I think we need to presume that there is going to need to be some sort of self-limiting one and not an explicit action of council to do it. Maybe I'm just I'm not sure I'm being negative or pragmatic, but
well,
that's
so
the way I see it.
If I have a quick response to that, Jeff?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, Alan, I understand, and I do think, however, that the council should be more explicit rather than, you know, taking a slow-down, speed-up type of approach, depending upon the implicit priorities. Because what happens is that those people who do feel like they were maybe their schedule wasn't given the top priority, you know, will come back and say that's a transparency issue because that decision was made without them. So I feel like, you know, that does address the immediate problem, but it creates a bigger problem, perhaps.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't see a way out.
Right. Well,
we've spent a huge amount of time on prioritization, and we've gotten virtually nowhere.
Yeah. Well, maybe it needs to come from staff then, you know. Here's the number of PDPs we can support at any given time. You know, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but just because we don't trust staff to do it and council can't come up with an agreement doesn't mean that the problem still isn't out there begging for a solution.
So is there any, I agree with, or I think James has a good point. We shouldn't just punt the whole thing. And Alan, is there any way that we could provide some guidance or some things that should be considered? Or is there anything that, for example, one of the things that the IETF, for example, has a their advisory body meets and discusses prioritization and discusses resources constantly as far as whether groups should be continue to go or should not continue to go. Is there any guidance that we can give? Because I think we all sort of agree that you can't really kill a group once it starts. The group may kill itself, but it's not like I don't think the council has ever basically taken a group, started a PDP, and then said, you know what, it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere, let's just stop it. So
Jeff,
what's that?
I'm sorry, this is James. I wonder if what we're not saying here is that council needs a more elaborate calendar. I think this is pretty common amongst legislative bodies where they will say, you know, this bill is coming up on this date or this bill deliberations will be, wrapping up by this date or whatever. It just seems like, perhaps a calendar, of course, that one might impose artificial deadlines on how long a TDP should last. But, I'm just thinking that that might lend itself to some additional organization.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we don't do right now is we do attach timelines to PDPs and to other activities also, but we don't have ticklers when we're not meeting them. And that alone may help push things up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Paul.
Thanks, Jeff. It's Paul. Jeff, I think I liked where you were going when you were searching if IETF or other groups have examples that we might point to help guide. One other question or something that I think we've probably discussed, but I don't think it made it into our draft report, was what about the idea, rather than killing a PDP, which I don't think I would be in favor of, but if new hot high-priority issues come along, what about putting an existing PDP that everybody admits is going kind of slow in sort of like a hold mode and creating a voting mechanism, maybe the very high thresholds that we've already established here, but if the councilors recognized, okay, I've got five PDPs underway, but this new thing has come along, and one of the PDPs everybody kind of admits is just really floundering, a vote can be taken to put that on hold, thereby, officially freeing up any resources that were devoted to it, and, set some timeline, and then we come back to it. I mean, would something like that be doable, possible? And even if there's support for it, I think it has to be written down somewhere. It shouldn't be done on an ad hoc basis.
Marika, did you have a comment on this particular point?
Yeah, this is Marika. I think the notion of putting things on hold, partly I have a concern that then things will forever be on hold, and especially when something has been on hold for a while, no one will want to start it up because it means redoing a lot of the work and volunteers might have disappeared out of the picture. But another point I wanted to make is that if you look at the current workload of the GNSO Council, there are actually, I think, three PDPs that are currently ongoing. And I don't think they are the problem of, on the workload. It's not the PDPs. It's all the other stuff that's happening, the combined package that is creating a problem. And that is really having an effect on the PDP. So maybe that a question should be as well, are PDPs a priority over other initiatives, or should everything be treated in the same way and should be, it should be just be working group prioritization? Because I think, we might want to make a distinction there, although, we're talking about PDPs. the PDPs on itself are not an issue because, you know, there are currently only three. And so those we kind of get done because, you know, we're missing deadlines or we don't, you know, we have to cancel meetings because people have other things they're working on. There are so many other things going on at the same time.
Yeah, I think that would be a concern, but I let me go to Wolf and then Alex. Wolf?
Yeah, thank you. Wolf speaking. So some words to the prioritization again. So the major target of the prioritization process is, and that's why I was also working in that group, is to make it more transparent, the workload and the conditions under which the council is working and the consequences. So that's the only target. There was no target to establish a law called prioritization and a list, which means okay, that's point one, two, three, and let's walk from 1 to 11 and then look after that. So at any time the council is in a position to say, okay, there's something which is of higher priority and let's go that way. And this could be initiated by any working team as well. So so maybe there is a fear which is not really realistic, you know, about that something is going, let me say, not to get prioritization on a council level which needs prioritization, like PDPs or these things. So if that is understood that way, I think it's more easy, and this prioritization list is just for transparency. Thanks.
Okay. Alex?
Yes, Alex speaking. Thank you, Jeff. I think we discussed this quite a bit some time back, and I remember even the joke you floated, Jeff, was on the Kaminsky, and then we all laughed and went on with it. And I think after that, we requested Marika to compile statistics of PDPs in a year. Maybe she could remind us about those statistics on average for, I think, if she has them readily, because it gives an idea about how many PDPs are there. Because I think we are probably talking of prioritizing PDPs, and there are always two or three or four, never more than five. Thanks.
Marika, do you have any of those off the top of your head? I think it was the average, if I remember, you know, throwing out kind of the one that took years and you know, the one occasional real fast one, it was somewhere around a little over a year, around a year.
Yeah, that's correct, but I have a slight suspicion if we look at the current PDPs that are ongoing, that average is going beyond that.
Yeah, they are. Some of them have been taking a long time. Okay, Alan?
I've made this comment before, but my impression is PDP or prioritization is not the issue. I don't think I've ever been in part of two PDPs at the same time, but I participate in 8 or 9 conference calls a week. They're not generally all PDPs. I mean, this one is not a PDP, and it's one of the heavier ones. Council reorganization has generated a lot of work. We're starting to do more joint work, which are not PDPs. So I think it's an ICANN and a GNSO issue, but I don't think it's a PDP issue. The number of PDPs that are ongoing with significant overlap membership, I don't think is very large.
So I think, Alan, that is a really good point that, you know, even if we came up with something that says, here's how you prioritize PDPs, the reality is a lot of the activity, I shouldn't say most because I don't know that for a fact, but a lot of the activity of council and the community has little to do with PDPs. So, for example, now, as you said, you have new GTLDs, you have this, you have discussions of DNS cert. You have other discussions that are accountability and transparency. None of that really relates to none of that really relates to PDPs that are ongoing. it really relates to the overall prioritization. But I do think that's one point that, you know, if we talk about this in our report, we should make it clear that even though our mandate is really talking about prioritization of PDPs, we'd like to see the council engage in or make sure things are prioritized with respect to all of its activities. And I do think that, as James said, I think, you know, we do need to emphasize strongly in the report that there is concern, especially around the time of face-to-face meetings, that there is a limit to what staff and resource and volunteer resources can do, and so that there should be an overall focus by the council to make sure that there's not too many things going on at once.
But recognize, certainly in recent years, and maybe this is an anomaly and it will change, but I think it's going to get worse, not better, a lot of the activities are not driven by formal council decisions. And I really think the issue is getting more people involved so there's less overlap and not reducing the number of things. Then the only pressure is on staff, and that's a financial issue which can be addressed if it's truly important to ICANN.
James, I mean, you're kind of one of the more outspoken. What do you think we can recommend here?
Thanks, Jeff. You know, I think, and apologize if I'm being a little too outspoken, but I think that, with the restructuring, I think there's a line in the report recommendations that the council needs to transition itself to a management, of activities and less of a voting, or I don't remember the exact language, but it was something along those lines. And I think that's management of the entire process end-to-end for PDPs and other working groups. And I think that what we need to acknowledge is that the resource burdening issue is a side effect or a symptom of a lot of other root causes that, PDPs are easy to initiate, they're hard to wind down, and they don't necessarily hold to any sort of a strict deadline. And I think that that's just, I think that the former engineer in me says that that's a recipe for a bottleneck, a backlog of work that just will accumulate indefinitely until we kind of take more proactive action. So I think that some of the recommendations would be to note the problems that we're having with, that we've identified already with PDP sequencing and prioritization, and note that they're contending for the same resources with non-PDP activities, such as this group, other working groups and drafting teams, and even, some of the AOC activities as well. And just kind of point out that, we need a more proactive management of these issues to ensure that we don't get into a situation where we have scaling staff and, volunteer exhaustion and depletion of volunteer resources. So, other than that, I don't have an answer except that just to point out that it needs to be more actively addressed.
So I think we can safely say in this report that several or a number of, depending on how many, but some work team members expressed concern about the number of activities that are going on in the ICANN community, and that they wanted to strongly emphasize that the GMCIP Council, as a management body under the new regime, I'm not using exact words here, but essentially, under the new regime, needs to place more of an emphasis on ensuring that there will be enough staff time, volunteer resources, et cetera, to at the stage of initiating a PDP to make sure that can be done. Basically just capturing your points, James. I think we could safely say that in the report. And even though we don't have any concrete recommendations like a vote, let's say, to do a hold, we could certainly make those points pretty clear. Liz?
Well, I think, sorry, Jeff, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think that we can make three concrete recommendations. We can talk about the, or actually four, we can make the recommendation relative to, the possibility that a PDP could go into hiatus. I think that was, something to consider. I mean, it has its downsides, but so does everything to consider. We talked about a more elaborate calendar, and with that, combined with a more structured time frame where PDPs have to hit certain milestones by certain dates. They can't just kind of whiz past a required deadline, with no consequence. And finally, we talked a little bit more about acknowledgement of what else is going on outside of PDPs in, that's going to be using the same or contending for the same resources. And, vice versa whenever we kick off a non-PDP group. So I think, there's a couple of just off-the-cuff recommendations that might, at least point folks in the right direction, but I don't think there's a silver bullet answer here.
Okay, so just to summarize that, you can recommend as an option, that there could be, and again, we're doing a draft final report, so we can still solicit public to explicit public comment on this, the possibility of having some formal mechanism to enable a PDP to go into a hiatus period, making sure for more transparency that there's an elaborate calendar that everyone can in the community can see, that have time frames that are on it, and that there should be some required deadlines set for different milestones for PDPs that we're not saying that they be terminated if they don't meet those deadlines, but that certainly the council should, if a deadline is missed, the council, it should go before the council, and the council should decide what, if any, remedial actions need to be taken. And the last 20 said is acknowledgement, certainly at the time of initiating the PDP and at further, at further steps too, that there are things going on in other areas of the ICANN community that will contend for the same or similar resources. And so that needs to be recognized. That sum it up?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Okay, Liz?
Thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to mention that there is a report, in addition to the prioritization effort that the council went through that sort of culminated in Brussels, and I know there's an action item on today's council call to further discuss the results of that. There's also a report that staff prepared for the council and shared that did a snapshot of a week in time where we analyzed staff utilization. Actually, we did it a couple times to make sure that the results were consistent. Mariko posted, or I think she just did, that report that we gave to the council, but it just was to help the council get a sense of how stretched the staff already is, one component of the overall resource challenge aside from community resources. And I just wanted to mention that to this group so you're aware of that report as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz. I didn't know that was out. I definitely will should all take a look at that. Okay, jumping to the next part, which is a comment on Fast Track. I'll read the comment, but I think we should just move on after the. We will address it later on. And I just skipped to the next one by accident here. So the comment was, Fast Track procedure will be useful, but due consideration needs to be given to questions related to gaming and ensuring broad and diverse participation. So we will obviously consider that when we talk more about a fast track in a later meeting. Okay, where a PDP is initiated by a board action, this is recommendation 16 and 17, it is not clear what, if any, role public comment would play in this regard. As such, the 8 calendar days proposed by the work team may be either unnecessary if the council has no choice but to act on the board's instruction, or insufficient if public comment is to be considered. The recommendation that a stakeholder group or constituency may defer a vote on a PDP for no more than one meeting and needs to detail its reasons for such a request is necessary to ensure timely action on issues of importance and minimize gaming or other similarly strategic actions. So the second one is just an agreement, second part of that. But the first part, let me go to the recommendation 16.
This is Marika. I'm just wondering if that comes from her earlier comment where she assumed that a board requested a raised issue doesn't require an issues report. So I'm wondering if it comes from that confusion that she says, well, if there's no issues report, will there be a common public comment period? And if there's not, why would you need to wait 8 days?
Right. So you think that since we've clarified that it would still require an issues report with a comment period, that it doesn't, that that may not, that her assumption was incorrect and therefore we're okay?
That's what I'm wondering, reading her comments, but I don't know what others think.
Yeah, I think I'm rereading it. I think you might be right. Okay, so we'll move on then. Appeals mechanism. This is, I guess, if there's an appeal, if we do not initiate a PDP. Is that? Let me just double check this. Right. This is against initiating a PDP. Mary agrees that requiring the council to state its reasons in the absence of a full appeal mechanism would help ensure transparency. So I think she's fine with the recommendation. Recommendation 1920. She agrees with. 21. I'm just going to the ones that it's just not agreement. Time frame for making, for taking a decision. Okay, so recommendation 22, to skip to that would be scrolling, that's on page. Okay, recommendation 22 is what options should the GNSF Council have to ensure that it can make an informed decision on whether to initiate a PDP, subject to the time frames that we all agreed on. And it says, the PDP work team requests further guidance. Great. So our recommendation is that we need further guidance, and her comment is, this applies presumably to situations where the council believes a vote should be deferred, in order to obtain expert advice to ensure timely action one way or the other. However, it does not seem advisable to leave the question of how long such deferral can last unanswered. Similarly, the question of whether a certain threshold of council members is required before deferral is confirmed is also important. To leave these questions to guidelines may not be the optimal solution, although it's certainly better than the current lack of guidelines and clarity. The work team may wish to explore the possibility of at least requiring a deferral be made for no longer than the next council meeting, unless the reason for the deferral reveals the need for a longer deferral period, in which case there should be a maximum time limit set to be amended only upon further vote of the council. I think her comments make a lot of sense. What does the group think? That, so we've said that if there's an issues report, and then the council still wants to get some expert opinion or expert advice before voting up or down the PDP as to whether to initiate it. If the council wants to get some expert advice, is there a maximum time frame? And we just said, well, we need to consider it. And Mary's comment, which I think makes some sense, is, well, we should just say the general rule is if the council votes to defer it, it should only be deferred one meeting unless in the request for deferral there are good reasons provided for why it may take longer than the one meeting, which is usually, what, every 3 weeks, Margie, Marika, Council?
Yes.
Right. So it's basically 21 days deferral should be the default unless there's a good reason provided for a longer period.
This is Marika. Maybe we would be better to say the next council meeting, because I think there are instances, for example, when there's an upcoming ICANN meeting that it might be 4 weeks, or when there are Christmas holidays or things like that. So maybe it's safer to say next council meeting or something like that to, you know, that there's no need to convene a special council meeting just to meet at that line.
Yeah, I think that's, I was just pointing out the 21 days so people on the call understood how long it usually is between meeting. But yes, I think that's right. The recommendation would be to pull the next council meeting. So assuming that recommendation makes sense, what should the voting threshold be to defer the initiation of a PDP? Defer the vote. Now remember, we've already said that if one council member believes it should be deferred because they need more time to consult, that's pretty much given almost as of right. So now we're talking about a situation where they could have just deferred for a council meeting anyway. Now we're talking about deferring for an extra council meeting. Alex?
Yes, Alex speaking. Could we have a graduated way of I think we have said a maximum of 3 council meetings. So we make the first one easy and then progressively to the last one, when you can extend more, it becomes more harder to attain or some sort of graduated voting, so that if it's on the first time you're asking for a deferral, it might be made easy. If you ask the second time, it's made harder. The third time, if you must go to level 3, it becomes hardest to ask for the third time, the final one. Thanks.
So I think there's only 2 mechanisms now to defer that. One would be the easy way, which is a council member or one stakeholder group requests it, and then it's usually granted as of right. So the second graduated way for this would be to require an expert opinion or expert advice. And what should the threshold be for that? And actually, we need to really probably think about this a little bit offline, because I can already think of a gaming situation where it would require a much less vote to initiate the PDP than it would be to defer it. But let's say you said it's only 50% or a majority to defer it. Then in theory, you could have 2 votes, both successful, one to defer and one to initiate. So we really kind of need to think about how that's played out in practice. But do we want to just, Marika, kind of jot that down as a note and play out the different scenarios so we can kind of make sure that there be no gaming of it?
Okay.
Well, I should say make sure there's no gaming. There will always be gaming, as Alan would always say. I'm saying it for you, Alan. But to minimize it. All right, I think Mary's next comment is on the public comment period after initiation of a PDP. The functioning nature of public comments in relation to a working group request after its initiation can be different from public comments solicited and received in response to the issues report. As such, a public comment period should be mandatory unless the working group specifically deems and documents its reasons unnecessary. Even so, this should not preclude the working group from initiating a public comment period at some later point. So I think our recommendations here was that if there's a public comment period after the issues report, we didn't want to say that it's mandatory to have a public comment period immediately upon opening it up. The only mandatory ones we recommended were after the initial report and after, I think it was only after the initial report, right? Marika, keep me honest here.
This is Marika, yes. We said, I think, mandatory on the issues report and on the initial report, and other comment periods are optional.
Okay. So does anyone, so Mary's offering a different opinion here. What do people think? So I think we should, it doesn't sound like there's an overwhelming, desire to change our recommendation. So I would suggest that we note the comment, note that it disagrees, I guess, I guess, unless I hear otherwise from the group, I don't think we change our recommendation on that. Okay, comment 20, sorry, there's agreement there. Comment 24, clarify in scope. The work team recommendation to distinguish is necessary and should be adopted. So there's agreement, that's good. And I can't believe there's all these comments that we haven't addressed. Communication with ICANN departments, clarification over appropriate and available means and channels of communication with various ICANN departments will be necessary. Okay? I think we have that in there, right, Marika, that we believe that there should be clarification of the role and that we should develop that. All right. How many more comments do we have, Marika? Before we actually addressed her comments. And I thought at some point we started working hers in.
She said she just got disconnected.
Ah.
Line shortly.
So all of Mary's comments are indicated on this chart as not addressed, but we did at some point work them in. I'm just wondering where we actually see when Marika gets back on.
I don't think we've discussed them. We may have discussed the issue, but I don't think we discussed her comments as such.
Well, I know, at some point we did. At some point we brought hers back in.
I thought they just came in late.
They did, but they were in by the time of, like, a couple meetings ago.
Well, maybe I missed it. That report Liz talked about, the staff utilization report, is really interesting. It says virtually all of staff time is taken up on non-policy issues, or at least non-JNSO policy issues, if staff only work 40-hour weeks.
Yeah.
Marika's back.
Hey, Marika.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Hey, Marika, so I know at some point we did start talking about Mary's comments, but I can't find that in the chart as to where at what point we actually.
I'm just scrolling down. It should be where we have as well responses to her comments. I think it's
right,
quite
not,
far down.
I'm not.
So comment 39 is where we've taken our comments into account. Is that, I think, where we were at that juncture?
How can you tell?
Because the comment 39, we actually have a response in there that we actually reviewed it, and the ones before we didn't. So I'm assuming that we didn't discuss those. Otherwise, I would have put down some notes.
Okay, so we are at, all right, let's keep going. Well, shoot, we're out of time. All right, so what I'm going to do, because I want to move on, is if people can give a little bit of homework, please. If people can review other comments that Mary has, starting with comment 26 on page 22 up through 39, and just make any comments, that would be helpful. What I want to do next time is talk about when we reveal, we're going to send out this draft report. I want to start focusing on the open issues that are in there. Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika. Especially there are some comments, I think, from Mary in relation to the implementation review team that might be useful. I think she makes some good suggestions there. I've highlighted as well some of those comments in the draft report to indicate that, you know, there are some suggestions there that the group might want to take into account when discussing those items.
Right. And what I also want to say is we are not going to meet next week, but what I want to do is try to do two meetings the week after, one on our regularly scheduled time, and I want to set a doodle out. Really, it's kind of a working session to go through that draft and any comments, because I want people to take, if you could, take next week's allotted time. Keep it on your calendar, but make sure that you review the report at that time. try this exercise. So if you could take that time, review the report during that time period, and then fill out a doodle to see if you can make it. We're going to have a second meeting the week after, and hopefully those that can attend will. But I really want to just use it as a working session to go through that draft report. Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika. Another thing we didn't discuss, we have an internal deadline to submit our meeting request for Cartagena. So as we are not clear yet whether we're going to make the deadline or whether we need a public meeting or maybe just a group meeting, my suggestion would be that I do request a time slot for during the week, and we leave in the middle now whether that's a presentation of a draft final report or whether we otherwise use that time then as a PDP work team session to work through some of the remaining issues or items we might have. And, in the worst case, we can cancel it if it's conflicts with other meetings or people can't make it, because I need to get that form in by the 4th of November to, get that on the schedule. And that would normally be, I think, if we look at the schedule as it currently stands, it would be either Wednesday morning or Thursday morning where there is time for, working group meetings or workshops.
So, because a lot of people serve on multiple, are there times during the GNSO Council days, Saturday and Sunday, that could be allotted to this? Because I'm thinking
On Sunday, we've set aside a one-hour slot for the PPSC, but at this stage, I don't know if the PPSC needs or wants to meet, so that could be as well a time slot that the PDP work team could take.
All right. Okay, why don't you request the time, and then we'll talk about it on the next call.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thanks. I know we're moving quick. Moving on some of these issues quickly, but I think when you see the report next week, you'll see we are making a lot of progress. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Okay, Jeff, can you stay on for a second?
Yep, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yep. Gisela, if you can just stop the recording.
Yes, sir, but would you be so kind as to just stop the recording with